The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through regions searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits more wicked than itself who move in and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be here again. It's wonderful you got me here again. Could I give you a little thought for today? Yes or yes? Yes, because I'm giving you one whether you like it or not. Okay, this is one of the more nuanced Gospels, but it has some couple important lessons, somewhat unrelated to one another, hither and thither. Let me just give you two. First of all, the crowd says of Jesus, "By the power of Beelzebul, by the power of the devil, does he drive out demons?" Lesson from that. If they accuse Jesus of being in league with the devil, don't be surprised when people accuse you of all kinds of things. Right? There's no escaping accusation, no matter who you are, if you know that they accuse Jesus of being in league with the devil. The Hebrew word for the devil, Satanas, it means the accuser. He accuses God and he accuses you. You know what the devil does? He whispers to you and he says, "You go ahead and commit that sin. No one will ever find out." And you know what happens when you listen to his whisper and you commit the sin? He accuses you. And he says, "You sinner, there will never be forgiveness for you now." The accuser. Now, when people act out of malice, don't be surprised when one of their tactics is accusation. Tell me if this doesn't ring true. 99 out of 100 guilty people accuse everyone except themselves, right? Rare is the one who ever fesses up and admits his own guilt. So, little lesson there. We mustn't be shocked or surprised when we're accused. It's just part of life. Okay, but here's something I think that's even more interesting. Jesus says this little story here. And he says, when a strong man fully armed guards the palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger attacks, the armor takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoil. What's that all about? Well, a couple of prophecies is what that's all about. First of all, a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah once said that when the Messiah comes, he's going to rescue those who have been held captive by a tyrant and restore to them everything the tyrant has taken away from them. And it also makes reference to John the Baptist, who said that when the Messiah comes, he's going to be the strongest and the most powerful of all. Now, Jesus speaking to a crowd full of people that know all about these prophecies. And effectively, he says, what Isaiah was talking about, what John the Baptist was talking about, that's me. Right? Who's the strong man? Lucifer. Who's the one who's stronger? Christ our Lord. What's the armor? Now, this is what's interesting. What's the armor on which Lucifer relied to keep you captive? Two things. Lies and fear. That's how the devil holds us captive. Lies and fear. Three lies in particular. Three lies. Number one, God is your adversary. God is against you. God is holding you back. Number two, sin will make you happy. Number three, all of your problems will be solved if only you had more power, honor, money, and pleasure. Those are the lies that hold people captive. Then there's fear. Fear. Fear of what other people think of us is a big, big chain that keeps us held captive. Fear that if we say yes to God, he's going to ask too much of us. There's going to be too much suffering. Then, of course, the greatest fear of all, lack of confidence in God and a lack of trust in his goodness. It's what led to the first sin in the first place. Lack of confidence in God and a lack of trust in his goodness. Lies and fear. That's how the evil spirit holds his victims captive. Now, Jesus comes along, he sets us free. The only thing to realize is it's rarely a singular event. He sets us more and more free the more and more we let him reign in our lives. And that's why we're here to pray. It's an ongoing process. Interesting little historical reference that Jesus makes reference to here in this gospel comes from the ancient Roman Empire. In the ancient Roman Empire, whenever a general would conquer a foreign land, there was a ceremony. After the conquering, a military procession, and it went something like this. Riding in a chariot came the conquering general, dressed in gold, dressed in purple, laurel leaf around his head. And all in front of him was an entourage of all the things that he conquered. Peoples, possessions, exotic wild animals, all the things that he conquered, and a great procession ahead of him. But you know who was leading the procession of all that he conquered? The defeated enemy general, wearing rags, if wearing anything at all, and bound in chains. The purpose of this procession was to tell the people, look at what you feared. You have nothing to fear anymore. It's been conquered. That's what our Lord says. I'm the conquering general. You have nothing to fear anymore. All that you've been holding you captive, all that's been keeping you oppressed has been defeated. Now, the task for you and I, for you and me in the spiritual life, is to let him really conquer, right? Because honestly, he's conquered all to some degree, or you wouldn't even be here. But to some people, it's 50%. Some of us 60%, some of us 70%, who knows? What we want to do is recognize how great is the freedom that God gives us and the power that he gives us, the great freedom of the children of God, and let him conquer our hearts 100%. Yes or yes?
Yes?
Yes. Let's ask for his prayers and his grace as we continue here with the Mass. And remember, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.